Today on the Science and Spirituality podcast, we had Shannon Starr sharing about psychedelics and ketamine-assisted therapy, as well as many other topics we got into in terms of letting go of the mind and opening up into who you truly are as a spiritual being. So a quick bio for Shannon first. Shannon is a board-certified psychiatric nurse practitioner and is an experienced expert in ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. Additionally, she is the founder of Floresta, a psychedelic and consciousness-based based retreat company that looks to optimize set and setting and create extraordinary outcomes. She invites meditation, yoga, indigenous practices, functional medicine, and energy work as a way to empower others to be in their knowing. She is a certified Access Consciousness facilitator and offers different energetic practices to support mental health, and she invites others to acknowledge their unique capacities and inspires choice, possibility, and transformation. So my experience in this episode was quite fascinating. It's not very often that when I interview someone, I go through my own transformation within that conversation. And that actually is what happened in this for 50 minutes or so, this hour. And I hope you have this similar experience, because when you'll hear in this episode, when Shannon and I start talking, I invite her to start sharing about her work and what led her to what she's doing to this day. And it was a challenge for me even to let go of the preconceived notions of what I have had about psychedelics, about the kind of work that she does at her retreats, and just let it be for what it is. And that's ultimately where this whole conversation led to, where we started to talk about programs and programming and our mind making up a story about what we're experiencing, or what she calls jumping to conclusions, or you just conclude what you have made up already, a judgment about what you're experiencing, versus just letting that go and then opening up to the actual experience of what is in this present moment. So it was a really fascinating conversation, because that's the experience I had going through this. And that's ultimately what Shannon was speaking of in this whole episode. So I hope you catch that energy. And I'm sharing this in the beginning because I noticed I had some difficulty of letting go in the beginning, because as I shared with Shannon at the end, that as Chris and I, my brother and I, host these episodes and interview people, we often have some tangible things to go off of, whereas this conversation was a bit different. And so that's all I'll say about it. I'll let you have your own journey with this, but this has been a great conversation, and I hope you get a lot out of it as you get to the end of this episode, which I invite you to stay to the end, because you might have your own transformation by means of this. So enjoy.
Welcome to the Science and Spirituality podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton. And we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy to understand scientific research, so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started. So Shannon, welcome to the Science and Spirituality podcast. I'm looking forward to this conversation on psychedelics with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Great to be here.
Mm-hmm. So tell us your journey, where you got to this place where you are now, is leading retreats, being a board certified nurse and working with ketamine assisted therapy, all of that. Like, love to hear your journey of how you got here today.
Yeah. So for me, in a way, it was almost like backwards to a lot of my colleagues. Like, I started out going to school, studying transcendental meditation, and was immersed in a community of people that were coming together to really practice consciousness, or we meditated twice a day and sometimes, 5 to 6 hours a day. So it's really, in this very cool community that I loved and was so grateful that I got to experience. People were willing to ask a lot of questions, come together in, different community practices of how do we create change? How do we step into a space of vulnerability and connection? And I had always tell this person whenever I see him how he changed my life. Like, I had this conversation with this guy, and for the first time in my life, I actually felt listened to, and it just like changed everything. I was like, wow, this is the way I can relate with people, the sense of like having spaciousness and presence. So from those experiences, the school I went to is called Maharishi University. So from that, I really, you know, steeped myself in this space of, you know, choosing something not conventional and, you know, really having community to amplify and support that. And so then I came to New York City and I was this happy, like little spiritual meditation kind of, you know, energy space. And I actually got like quite, it was like such an intense rub between like being like, wow, like the nature is going to support me. And then coming to New York, and New York was like, hey, like what's going on? Who are you? So it was really interesting for me to be, you know, in these two dynamics, one where, you know, I came from this space, which I felt so supported, like such joy all the time. And then coming to New York, which I, you know, didn't feel like I fit in. And it was quite this intense rub. And so from that place, I was like, and I was doing fitness and nutrition and coaching. And I was like, well, you know what, I'd really love to have all of the spirituality that I, you know, studied and awareness with meditation and different states of consciousness, and let it be applied in a way that blends with Western, you know, different practices and psychology, and have a space where I could, you know, communicate that stuff and be seen as a, like a thought leader. So I went back to school and, you know, was figuring out which direction I want to go in. Initially, I was going to do more of a holistic functional medicine psychiatry practice. And because for me, it was always like finding these other ways to work in mental health, knowing that there's so many possibilities and, you know, seeing the limitations of conventional psychiatry and, you know, really standing for like meditation, that mind, body, spirit connection. And then I got introduced to ketamine therapy as I was offering it as a registered nurse. And I got to guide people through those practices and just saw how powerful that was. And at the same time, I was getting my master's as a psych nurse practitioner. I was like, wow, this is just such a beautiful blend of, you know, getting to work with people through whatever is presenting for them in their mental health journey and work with it in not a linear way, work with it with more, you know, the spirit of who they be and allowing the whole body to relax. And through that relaxation, really receiving so much more. And then from there, seeing the power of you know, ketamine therapy in mental health, and also being someone who has done many retreats in my life, I was, you know, looking to blend the two to really optimize the set and setting while you're working with this medicine. And yeah, built out Floresta, which offers ketamine in different, you know, consciousness-based retreats.
That's awesome. How long have you been doing for now then? Because it seems like it's, well, not relatively fresh, but like from what your journey was sharing that you were just sharing about, it's like you've been in this whole process of discovery and then sort of create this, which, like you said, you've done many retreats. I'm just curious because we hadn't talked about that yet.
Yeah. So I'm probably at like running about 40 retreats, probably around 35 to 40 retreats at this point.
Nice.
And the company has been around now about 2.5 years. So we'll do, you know, maybe one or one to two, or sometimes up to three per month, depending on, you know, where things are going.
Right. That's interesting. You started it 2.5 years ago, that it was right around like when all the shutdowns were happening. Like, so how did you all deal with that?
Yeah, it was, I mean, we would just have everybody COVID test before. It was really like just to, you know, create a space of ease.
Right.
Which is really like, for me, one of the most important things in working with ketamine therapy is the more relaxed people can be, the more they can receive. And so really looking to create a space where people are like, even, you know, creating choice around not needing to wear a mask, because that can, you know, inhibit that. So, you know, making it as safe as possible for people to choose it so that they can receive and relax. And I found so many people were so grateful, because it's like, we've been not seeing people for a long time, and then we're coming together and processing like that whole experience, which is pretty intense. And I definitely saw an uptick in clients dealing with depression and anxiety. And I even still to this day, when I'm talking to clients, they're like, you know, sharing about how they're still, you know, post COVID having some trauma and mood symptoms from that experience that we're, you know, still processing now even. So in the height of it, in the peak of it, you know, creating a safe environment and then, like letting people really share and come together in community. It was such a gift. Yeah.
That's awesome. beautiful. Yeah. I'm curious to hear people's experiences, like when they go through some retreat or that kind of therapy with you, like, what do you see, a general, I mean, especially since you've done 35, 40 now, like I noticed that at least as a coach myself, as I coach different clients, everyone has a different path, right? But you start to see different patterns and what emerges for people, like what people need. So I'm curious what your experience has been so far in seeing people's transformation.
Yeah, it's been really profound. Yeah, seeing people go from being like a little bit more introverted, and even some people are dealing with social anxiety, especially like post pandemic, and then like dropping into this community that's holding them. And the way that I like to facilitate, and I also just to share, like my credentials too, is I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So we're bringing in a lot of that. I realized I didn't share much about that journey, but yeah. So, you know, bringing that in, that level of education in, and, you know, really, I like to work with humor a lot. So it's like, you know, sometimes we make all these things like so significant, and I find that through laughter and through relaxing again, like we can really move through things so much with so much more ease. So, you know, creating an environment where people feel like they can, you know, connect with each other, and the facilitators are a space of ease too with each other. So having all of that flow, I find can be a real contribution.
Mm. That's awesome.
Hold on. I feel I need to grab some water. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I'll be right back. So sorry. I think maybe we can edit it a bit. Awesome. So another thing that I hear from clients when they're speaking about their experience. So I was talking about like the community aspect, and it's so beautiful. Like I'm, you know, facilitating and creating that space. And then I see, you know, participants taking each other under each other's wing and sharing. Like I'll hear reflections and like, oh, the thing that so-and-so said to me, you know, 3 months ago, it still sticks with me. Mm. And in the reflection and integration circle. So I find that the group dynamic is really almost like the special sauce, because I never know how, you know, all of these dynamic people are going to be interacting with each other.
Right.
And I've been creating a space where people can be vulnerable. You know, I'll offer different integration modalities where people are maybe even, you know, prompted to share different things, and having that space of self-expression. And because they're working with medicine, it's really can be disarming, and, you know, I really invite that space too. And so I find, you know, people are like, wow, I really came out of my shell, or I've never, you know, some people are getting these beautiful reflections. Like, you know, they're like, oh, I don't know how I, you know, feel about X, Y, Z, or I'm feeling kind of down. And the whole group will like come through and support them in these incredibly life-changing, magical ways. So I'm really just like seeing people shine. I just got off the phone with someone who shared with me how they were doing post ketamine, and I hear all the time things like, I came off my psych meds, or was able to, you know, night and day difference with how I'm relating with my partner. I went back to school and completed this, or, you know, I haven't worked out in 8 years and now I'm, you know, going back to the gym. So I really do find that it creates a space where people can step into whatever it is that they like to choose. Hmm. And I really like to create a space where it's not like, there's nothing wrong. It's not like your life before this is wrong, and we're not looking to like choose something because this other life is good. But it's really creating like an inner compass for people to be in their knowing. So it's like, great, here I am. If I choose this, what's this going to create in my life? And through that, not through the judgment of good or bad, but through the judgment, or through their knowing rather.
Right.
And like inner self-awareness, having choice come through that, for me is like one of the best spaces that I can empower with any person. Mm-hmm. So that's how I really like to, you know, support people, so that when they're leaving, they might have different tools that, you know, hey, now I can bring this out into the world.
Right. I'm curious to hear your perspective then, Shannon, on how that psychedelic, because ketamine, I know, I'm aware that it's a synthetic, or at least it was developed mm-hmm. as a sedative, I think it was.
Analgesic.
Uh-huh. There we go. Yes. But so that it had its properties of psychedelics. And so I'm curious to hear your point of view of how that plays a role in someone's transformation versus, say, having some similar experience at a retreat and not using a psychedelic? Like, where does that come into play? Oh, like, I mean, kind of getting onto the topic of the consciousness of psychedelics, like, what would you say it does?
Sure. So I actually really love to take away the power of ketamine. When I start a retreat, a lot of the times I'll you know, invite like anywhere where you've made ketamine the answer to solve something, everywhere where we're creating a problem, you know, because we hear, and I of course hear it too, it's like ketamine was the thing that changed my life. And yet I never, you know, I really look to create people as it's like, I was the one that created the change in my life. So I look to create, you know, it's a tool, it's a choice, it's a medicine. And I really look to not have ketamine be seen as the answer. And yet I've treated, you know, thousands of clients and I see it work like nothing else has. And yet, you know, for me, it's so important that if I'm here to support a journey with someone, they're getting that, like, they're the most valuable product and it's not about the ketamine. And yet, you know, it has these capacities to rewire the brain. So, you know, and without ketamine, we still have capacities to rewire our brain. We're always choosing. And there's all of, you know, there's consciousness around us all the time. We just can dial in and choose it. And I find ketamine just makes it a little easier, especially for people that are dealing with like a big change and transition. You know, it's a beautiful choice. And I like to, you know, empower people to listen to their body. So it's like, hey, you know, as I'm working with this, what can I create? What can I choose? It's a tool, but again, not the answer.
I see. I think that's great, because personally, in my experience, I've used psychedelics in the past many years ago. It's like a decade ago. It was more so if it's an entertainment thing. But now as I've grown older and matured, not only physically and emotionally, but spiritually as well, that it's used as a medicine, like you said, as a tool. But it still is the change within yourself. Like that is only a catalyst, if at best, of the change that you want to have happen. So that makes total sense. You mentioned a couple of things that I want to hear your perspective more deeply on, because you mentioned that consciousness is everywhere and that, you know, there is this consciousness that, or that choice you mentioned. So like, if you dive deeper into like, well, what is your take on consciousness? What is it? You mentioned it's out around us, but what about it within us? All of this, like, I want to hear more about that and then how that relates then to the ketamine.
Yeah, so I'd say ketamine and any psychedelic is going to be an amplifier of all of it. And it can also distort it too, to some extent, and create insight through that as well, because we're, you know, playing with these different realities. And I mean, man, reality is so cool for me. I'm, you know, I'm like, there's, you know, we're here like past, present, future, but like, how much can we be aware of all of that duality at once? And so even like, take something like ADHD, I'll look at that as like a massive superpower too. So it's like, if we're not looking to have all of these, you know, there's, I find like when we're trying to create conclusion and limitation, we're actually cutting ourselves off from the infinite awareness and infinite potential that we can choose and be. And so I'll continually be this invitation of like, you know, what, like truly, like, what do we know? What's possible? And if we continue to dissolve, like, again, those conclusions or anything that a lot of it is like the mind has concluded, and then buying into that reality versus asking questions and creating something that's never been possible before. And so I find through question, we can create greater awareness. And then, you know, everybody has their own unique capacities and gifts. And so it's a willingness to be so different, to not fit in, to, you know, be wrong. and you know, not that you have to choose to, quote, like, be wrong, like whatever that wrongness is, but the willingness to be it, the willingness to literally be anything. And then we can be in a space of receiving from all of that, including, you know, the consciousness around us and the, you know, interchange of consciousness and awareness. So it's like being aware of, like, even when I start a retreat, I'll invite everybody to, you know, welcome in the consciousness of the room and invite like the consciousness of like the pillow that they're using, the blanket, like all of those things that are holding them, and just invite all of the molecules, so to speak, to be a gift, to be a contribution. So it's like, as the universe is here supporting us, how do we how do we allow ourselves to receive? I mean, so much of it is just like expanding our capacity to receive, which I find is like our innate way of being. And then like all the other stuff that we put in the way is actually like not our being. And a question I love asking is, it's like, is it harder to uphold like the story, or is it actually easier to relax and be in that infinite awareness and way of being? And so it's like all of the work that we put in place, all of the, you know, masks and images and personalities and, you know, trying to fit in or trying to avoid this or trying to, you know, like make anything, you know, work versus like relaxing and expanding out, asking a question, what am I actually aware of? Like me, this incredible, amazing being that has so many gifts. And then from that space, like, ah, what can I choose and be from here?
Interesting you put it as like the consciousness of the things around you.
Yeah.
Like tuning into that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Cause it's like, why not? Why not like ask everything to contribute to us? Like we can ask our car to be a contribution. We can ask our bed to be a contribution. It's like, hey, when I'm sleeping, bed, like what can you contribute to me? Or, you know, what, as I'm zipping through the highway, like what can I be aware of? How can I use all of this to, you know, support me or, you know, be a space of healing or awareness or ease and relaxation. So much of my practice too. So right, I work with ketamine a lot, but I'm also an access consciousness certified facilitator. And so I do a lot of work with that as well. And I use a lot of those books also for integration with clients. And I just love it. It's such a cool way of framing consciousness and ways of relating with people. And a lot of that has actually been like one of my biggest inspirations for how I relate with people and what I'm creating with my clients.
What is that? I'm not familiar. And I imagine that some people might not be familiar with that either.
Yeah. So a lot of it is with energy. So it could be they have a practice where you're like running energy on the head. Later today, I'm actually going to be training people on that process. I find it to be like one of the most relaxing experiences. It just like clears the mind and then you can receive more. So it's not about, you know, necessarily like this, like it can feel really great. It can be really relaxing. I've actually found it to be like a pretty psychedelic experience. And it really, it's like a space of running different points on the head that correlate with different energetic lines. And then it creates more space. And for me, it's like the more space I can be, the more I can perceive, the more I'm actually tapping into the way that I actually like the true me versus like, here's a little me, like, oh, sorry, let me like apologize for, you know, versus like, you know, expanding out and being aware of the whole universe. And then through there, you know, moving through. So I find the more space and even the like energetically, the invitation of expanding out and being in a really, you know, I'll do this exercise where I'm like expand out 100 feet in all directions and now expand out 100,000 feet in all directions and still notice how you can find you. So it's like, and do you actually feel more like you when you're in that, you know, 100,000 feet in all directions space? And so, you know, it's inviting us to, you know, have that space and relax into there. They do a lot of questions, a lot of energetic clearing, a lot of processes like on the body, and then a lot of energetic processes off the body. And yeah, it's just such a cool way of being with things. And it's very pragmatic too, which I love. And yeah, those tools have truly changed my life. So I'm all about it.
But I'm still not clear. What is it exactly? Like you said, so, access consciousness, like yeah, you mentioned books too.
Yeah. It's a body of work. So there's lots of books. There's different ways like doing, like some of it can be like hands on the body processes. Some of it is like running processes on the energetic processes on the head. And then a lot of it can be like verbal facilitation too.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll recommend this book a lot to people who are integrating. It's called Being You, Changing the World by Dr. Dane Heer. And I think that's like a really beautiful one to start with. So I definitely recommend that.
Great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know this is jumping back a bit, but because I'm just thinking of like the topic still, because we got off on a tangent, which is great on consciousness. Yeah. So tell me about the consciousness of psychedelics, as that's the topic that you had suggested.
Yeah. So I find, you know, there's many different layers of when we're playing with psychedelics. And I find the more consciousness that we can bring into any psychedelic experience, the more we're able to navigate. So I kind of touched upon it earlier, but it's like the less judgment I find that we can be with ourselves in any experience, the more we're able to, you know, be in a space of consciousness. So I find a lot of times, even with like setting intentions for a journey, it's like, you know, there's still like that polarity of like, this is what would be good and this is what would be bad. Like, this is the bad thing in my life that I want to change, and this is what a good life would be. And I love that, right? Like, we're starting to tease it apart. But then it's like, if none of it was bad, if we didn't have to reject any of it or make any of it right. So like even the attachment to the rightness, like if you're holding on to this attachment of rightness, we're missing out on everything else.
Mm.
And if we're making this bad and we're pushing it away, we're actually not allowing ourselves to receive. And so even, you know, willing to receive the good, the bad, everything, like for me, so much of my process too, is it's like, how can I even receive judgment from people? How can that be a gift? How can that all be a contribution if I, you know, so it's like relaxing barriers down and receiving. And I find when we're being that, we actually like don't create anything that can push against us, whether it's from the outside or whether it's from within. Like, we're in some ways our worst enemies that we can be, you know, our inner critics. And so if we're willing to be that space of vulnerability where we're not making anything wrong or right, I find that we can, you know, within any psychedelic experience, just like be aware of everything and then receive from all of it. And I find sometimes too, like some people, and I share this because I used to do it, they were like, I gotta love my demons and I gotta love this like part of myself that's wounded. And maybe, but I really, you know, look to have this distinction of like, if we're not in question and we're in conclusion, we're not in our awareness. And so even if we're like, you know, finding ourselves like loving this, like, you know, it's like, maybe love is the right energy, you know, right being like the correct energy to create change, but maybe, you know, like killing energy or maybe no energy is, you know, actually what's going to create the change. And so I would really invite people to be in question. And some people might be like, whoa, killing energy. What's that? Or like, I'm a healer and I'm not supposed to do killing energy. It's only supposed to be like love and light. And when I hear things like that, I'm like, well, yeah. And you're cutting off this whole other potency of ways of being. And again, that's where we're making the light right and the, you know, killing energy wrong. And so for me, so much of the way that I like to embody these practices is like asking a question, what energy is required to create the change that I'm looking for? And then just allowing us to be in our knowing to be that, to embody it, to choose it, and then create the transformation.
Hmm. That's fascinating. Makes me think of like going beyond programming, you know, because we've all been trained to approach life in certain ways based on our upbringing, based on our parents, based on our society that we grew up in, the environment, how we reacted to life. And that's not just in our childhood, but it's literally our entire life. To then question those, like, I can see why sometimes it's difficult for someone to really do that on their own, which, you know, you are there as a facilitator to help in that way, clearly.
Yeah. So it's being in that space of consciousness, which again, with psychedelics, it's all such an amplifier. So now instead of, you know, gently being aware of your inner child, you're talking with your inner child, right? And what we concluded as our inner child. And maybe yes, and maybe not. Like maybe, you know, we're just aware of something else.
Right.
I briefly touched upon this before we started our call, but like a lot of, especially when we're playing with psychedelics, and it took me a little bit of time to, so to speak, like come out of the closet as a clinician, right? And I'm like, oh my God, am I going to be the clinician that talks about like communicating with spirits and entities? But at this point, I mean, it's such a big part of working within the consciousness of psychedelics that I find You know, and I was the person when people were like, oh, there's an angel here and yada. And I was like, what? This is like, like you guys are like, you know, making this up or when, you know, I was so not into it. And then it clicked and I got it. And then working in mental health and getting to, you know, be a space where people can tap into their own entity awareness has created so much change. And then again, in psychedelics, I find all of that just gets turned up so much.
Right.
So, you know, being aware of that, maybe you're communicating with your inner child, or maybe you're communicating with an entity, and that's okay too. But, you know, just when we're in conclusion or solidification, or, you know, following something almost like the programming, like, oh, here's this younger being, it must be this, this, this. And then we're, you know, locked into this conclusion. I'll say like, hey, cool, you're aware of something. Like, what is it? Is it yours? Is it someone else's? Is it something else? And so when we're asking those questions, we can be in our awareness. And then through that, we can, you know, create the change that we're looking for.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you find that some people get confused in that process? Because like, I'm just thinking of like some pushback that someone might have in their own mind, like listening to this, like, okay, that sounds great. And I have a hard time trusting myself. Like, cause you mentioned like being in that place that knows, like,
oh,
I think everyone yeah. knows that place of that knows, but then that, you know, the mind questioning, what's that
yeah.
about? How do you navigate that?
I'm navigating that these, you know, still like, I mean, it's truly like, but what a gift, right? It's like, that's why I even said in the beginning, like willing to be wrong, not that we have to be wrong, but the willingness to be wrong can allow us to, you know, continue to change and grow so much. So yeah, we might not get it. It might take, you know, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years, but it's like, I could spend my lifetime listening to what other people think I should be doing, or I could spend my lifetime embodying this process of continually trusting myself. Like, even it was interesting. I flew home. I was on a flight and I had two flights and I was going to either fly to Florida or Colorado. And I was like going back and forth a little bit and I chose Colorado and I was on the airplane and I was just like, wow, I feel really heavy in my body. I was like, what is this? And I started asking questions and it was like, yeah, I think you're supposed to be in Florida. But I'm on the airplane and I was like, well, we already chose this. And I was like, great. Well, let's just see how this pans out. And now I flew in last night to Florida, which would have been a lot easier if I just chose it the first time on Sunday, but that's okay. It's like, I, you know, we get it when we get it. And it was really cool information for me to now reflect on and be like, oh, that was my body and my being like pinging me and giving my awareness. So sometimes we're not, you know, we're not going to get it right, so to speak, or, but I find in the journey of it, like it's this refining process. And even when we're, so to speak, like not following or knowing, and then being like, oh, wow, I totally knew this. I mean, even when we're like, I love bringing things to relationships because I think it's such a easy way to perceive things. So like a lot of times when someone will break up with someone, it's like asking the question, when did you know to break up with them? When did you know the relationship was over? And a lot of times, right, we'll hear like a year ago or a year and a half ago. So it's like, we know it and yet we still choose it and it's okay. And, you know, hopefully it gets a little bit more clear and we start trusting ourselves more and asking questions. And, you know, there's different ways that we can start to build that relationship. And I find the first step is willing to be wrong.
Right.
Because if we're willing to be wrong, then we can, you know, choose, get awareness, choose, get awareness, choose and get awareness. Mm-hmm.
Beautifully said. I think it's important to constantly come back to, because in at least Western society, it's a bad thing to be wrong. It's like we have negative consequences. I mean, there's always negative consequences to being wrong, but there's also the positive, but we're so hyper-focused on the negative that we don't see the gift that being wrong really is. But that's why I said, like, I feel like that's something we all need to come back to on a regular basis, that it's okay. Really is okay to be wrong, because that's how we, like you said, gain awareness and grow, but only if we're actually willing.
Yeah.
It's like, if we're continually fighting it, then we're missing the lessons. Like, it goes over our head. And then we come back to the same, similar situation. It's like, why didn't we know better? well, you could have known better if you just allowed the lesson to be there. But that's the challenge that I think we face.
Yeah. Even just asking like, okay, here's this thing. What do I know now that wasn't available before? And then we can allow that awareness to move through. But so much of this is the energy we be and like the consciousness that we're choosing to tap into versus the unconsciousness, autopilot. So inviting that space of awareness, inviting that space that's beyond the mind, that actually comes through when we like relax and expand out. And it's such a different way of being. And so much of this conditioning, like of the mind, of the doing, of the knowing, of the concluding. And then it's like, ah, like I got this awareness from reading something a month or so ago, and it's really stuck with me. It's, well, I wouldn't say I didn't get it from something. I got it from my Access Consciousness manual. I'll give you the inside scoop. And it shared how it's like asking a question is here to create awareness and not to create an answer. And right, it's like, how much of the time are we asking questions so that we can get an answer, the right answer, so that we know what to do? And it's like, what if we asked a question to get an awareness? And then from that awareness could choose and be versus do. And of course, it'd be, I mean, I love to do. I'm a big doer. But also, you know, how much can we invite the space of being when we're doing and creating?
Yeah. I've often said that you could do tons of new things in your life, but if you're not being a new version of yourself, if you're not being the kind of person that you want to be, or like you, it sounds like what you're speaking to is like accessing a different consciousness, then you could be doing different things, but you're going to have a similar experience because you're living out old programs or old patterns, old conclusions, as you put them. So
yeah,
makes total sense.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to share with the whole like waiting to have everything right before we choose it is, it's, are we waiting to like have all the lights green before we hop in the car, or are we just getting in the car and going? So yeah, willing to, you know, stop, start, slow down to get to whatever we're aware of, you know, that we can get to, you know, achieve that target or
definitely space
I'd like to be.
Right. I'm curious, this is coming back to psychedelics now, because I know you talked about ketamine, and that's like the main one that you work with, because I'm familiar, at least that currently at the recording of this, that others are not legal. And so I'm curious if there is anything that you've used, maybe not as a like an official practice in your work, but if there are other psychedelics that you have worked with or that you have an awareness of or want to share on.
Yeah, I mean, I had pretty deep experiences. I traveled to Brazil and worked with a lot of plant medicines in a very strong way. And yeah, I mean, it was incredible. It like painted the magic that I knew was possible. And it was such a gift. And yeah, it allowed me to experience such deep love with myself and power that, like, no, you know, like no one could ever take that away or change it. It's like the choices that I was able to make in those journeys and the space that I was willing to be. Yeah, it's so, you know, beyond words, but it's like, I know it in my being, I know it in my body. And so much of it is like just befriending myself to be my best friend. And I'm just like, you know what's possible, get how, you know, not linear this reality can be. And then just continually willing to be a space of something new. You know, even it's like the psychedelics opened up so many different ways of, you know, communicating, receiving, being, and so much of it is energetic. And then it's looking to embody that and beyond every day. That's right. Because even if I make that, and I did this for a long time, I was like, oh, this feels like a, you know, like this medicine journey. And I kind of like attribute things to that. And I find it's like, and what if it just gets better and better? What if it's even beyond that? So I find psychedelics are these invitations of possibilities and the way that we react and respond to them. And then ultimately, like, how do we choose to be post that experience? How does that, you know, inform us into, you know, taking those possibilities And it's something I'll share with my clients too at the end of a retreat. They're like, how do I hold on to this? And, you know, and bringing it to, again, like holding on to the rightness, right? So, right, like this was so good. And, you know, how do I keep this, maintain it, right? And I'm like, well, if you didn't have to keep it or maintain it, and if it just got better, like, would you be willing to, you know, not hold on to anything so that you can be so undefined to then have access to infinitely choosing anything? And it's so uncomfortable to do that, because so much of what I find is about the control, right? Or it can be quite uncomfortable to do that and choose it for a lot of people, including myself. But it's like, the more I'm willing to be so undefined, so out of any context or conclusion, the more I can actually, you know, reach for literally anything, because I have nothing tethering me in any direction. And it's just, you know, knowing and choice, and then, you know, seeing where that goes and what creates from there.
Fascinating. Because again, yeah, it's so against like what programming is there for most exactly. people, which just makes yeah. sense why it's so uncomfortable.
Totally. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, we're going to pause the program and then go into this space. And then it's like wanting to fill the space because it's so uncomfortable to have the space. And then it's willing to, you know, if we didn't have to fill the space, how could I actually, you know, create with ease? And even, you know, I'll speak for me, like something that I'm present to that I'm working on is like the excitement of life, which could almost feel like the drama of life, and the trade-off of just like the space of being that I'm choosing. So it's like, if I wasn't like so attached to like the excitement and the drama and like, you know, the narrative, so to speak, or even like the fantasy. So like all of that's the programming, and it seems like so vibrant and rich. And then I would think of like, oh, but if I didn't have that, it would actually, like the story is like, it would be flat or boring, or there wouldn't be anything there. And then I actually get like, that's not true. It would actually just be space. So it's like perceiving from infinite awareness. And I'm like, and that's really not boring. It's going from almost like this black and white thinking to actually like, oh, if I'm in space, I'm in total awareness. And I can have everything. If I'm in the fantasy, if I'm attached to the drama or the excitement, then I'm, you know, chasing that versus, you know, from a space of being and infinite choice, I can choose anything all the time. I never have to chase anything.
Interesting. It sounds like going from, like you said, that just to use that analogy of like the black and white.
Yeah.
You know, some people say like, well, if it's not black and white, then you find the gray area. But to me, it sounds like it's more of like you move from the black and white to a more technicolor world where, like you said, like anything is there for you, available for you to choose in the moment. But
totally
very different than coming from, you know, a control space and like it has to be this, or like you said, the drama seems boring at first. But when you actually relax into that, then it becomes this really vibrant space to be in and, like you said, create from.
Yeah. And have complete awareness as the conscious beings that we are.
I'm curious then to take that a level deeper or higher to that.
Why? Totally.
Why? Because I think I'm curious if you had gotten this question, or at least for yourself, like to go from that narrative of the, you know, programming and stories, drama, all that, to go to this space of where it, at first it might seem like it kind of bland, to then open up to infinite awareness. Like why? Like what is the answer for you for that, if you've gotten that before, or for yourself or for others?
Yeah, well, I'd say how much is the black and white reality the lie, and how much of actually like the space is our true state of being? And when we're so, everyone is so, you know, it's almost like all those movies that we see, and they're like, hey, this is, you know, what, there's that movie where it's black and white and then it turns to color. truly. But I really do sense it's like we're all in a, you know, however our programming is, and then each person on their program is then trying to, you know, fit in with the other person, and so we're all kind of like trudging along on our own little program. And it fits, and it's easy And it's like, I know what to do. I know how to do this program. Even if I think I'm doing a bad job at the program, I'm still doing the program. Even if I'm doing a good job, I think I'm still doing a bad job. Right. So it's like, whatever it is. And it comes back to that space of, willing to be uncomfortable, to have all of you. And so I continue to choose that and lean into that space, because I've never been happier in my life. So like, I look at that as my result. Like, I'm like, whatever I'm choosing. And I dealt with my own version of like depression and anxiety and like pretty extreme ways. And I've tried so many things. And so this space of, question of being my own best friend, of being in choice and my own knowing, I'm like, I just feel like every day gets better and better. Mm. And I have such ease with accessing so many things. So that's where I come from. And I'm always like, don't trust me for anything. Like, trust yourself, trust your knowing. And it's like, try it. If it doesn't work, like, you try something else.
Right.
And I know for me and a lot of the people that I work with, that play in this space of consciousness more so through choice, through awareness, it's like we have the keys to the kingdom. Mm. I'm not outsourcing anything to anybody. Like, I know I'm the source. And if I'm the source, then I can create all the time.
Right. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, because that's really powerful, at least in my experience. Like, the way I would put it, it's like giving the mind a reason to not be in the mind. Like, because we get so caught up in the control, right? So that's why I asked that question, because I know for myself, as well as I'm sure people listening, it's like, all right, why do that difficult work? Because like you said, it's uncomfortable to let go of the stories and the programming and then be in that space of the, in a way, an unknown. But then, like you said, like the reasoning for you is that you become more of yourself and you find more happiness, more joy, despite the natural uncertainty, it sounds like, of just being in the unknown. Because that's where, I mean, beauty and magic and miracles happen anyway. And so to let go is to actually really be yourself.
Yeah, that's where the whole, like, is it harder to actually hold on to the story? How much work are we putting into that?
Right.
And it's like, okay, I'll choose discomfort, and then create ease and joy. And then it gets uncomfortable again. And then it's like, and then the discomfort becomes more, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, there's more ease in the discomfort because I've already chosen it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not to paint me as someone who like has it all, I'm still definitely in my work in progress, but at this point, I feel very confident, sharing like the tools that I'm choosing, like have totally radically changed my life. And like, I just feel like I shine from like here to from like, in so many different ways. And, it's willing to be that without proving and without being acknowledged too, which is like such an interesting space just to like, hit on that level of vulnerability. So it's like, willing to choose it and be it and see it and acknowledge it for you. And yes, like other people will acknowledge it, but it's like, if we're looking for other people to acknowledge it, then we're still outsourcing our power. So it's like willing to acknowledge who we be and what we're choosing and having our own back in that.
Hmm. That's an empowering place to be for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. I'm looking at the time. Time has been flying. That we're at the end of the conversation already, but thank you for sharing all that. It's sometimes, because I will say this, and I'll probably put this at the intro, in the intro, because for this, for our podcast, after a conversation with a guest, then I'll record the beginning just to share like my insights. And one of my key insights that I've gotten from this so far is that even in our podcast, we, since it's literally called Science and Spirituality, we often have a lot of tangible things that help the mind get on board. But obviously for what you've been sharing for this last hour is letting that all go so that you can really tap into the deeper nature of who you really are. And so I noticed even literally in the hour that we've been talking of like my mind starting to let go and allowing that more and more, which has been great. Because it's not that I'm strange to this kind of experience or just this knowing, this beingness, but again, for our podcast and what we often portray or share with the world. It has that scientific grounding with it, whereas this conversation's been much more in the spiritual beingness rather than the, yeah. So anyway, this has been brilliant, but any final points that you want to share, or some final message that you want to convey for our listeners for this conversation?
Yeah, I'd say go out and just have way too much fun. And what if that's all that was required?
Mm.
Right? Like, so much of the significance is like, and me as, you know, working in mental health, and everyone's like, hey, I'm feeling this, hey, I'm feeling that. Like, how do I fix this? And it's like, what if everything that we see as a problem is actually a gift? So it's like, go out, have way too much fun, and be the gift that you truly be.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. So Shannon, where can people find you and connect with you if they really resonate with you and your energy and your message? And if they want to go on a retreat with you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So we have our website, which is florestaretreat.com. You want me to spell it, or will there be?
That's okay. There'll be a link. Any of the links you share will be in the description of this episode.
Yeah. And I'll share briefly, like, floresta means forest in Portuguese. So it brings in a little bit of the experiences that I had in Brazil, and just honors that and being in forest and receiving from nature and being in that space. So we're florestaretreat.com. And then we also have an Instagram, which is florestaretreat, and you can find us there too.
Awesome. Well, yeah, like I said, we'll include those links.
Yeah. And I'll give the email, which is info@floresta.com as well.
Okay, great. Well, again, Shannon, this has been a great conversation. Thank you for being here, and hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton, or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people, and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.